Following are some introductory comments on Shakespearean romance and preliminary remarks on Shakespeare's first romance, Pericles, Prince of Tyre. Shakespearean romance, an introduction. In Fools of Time, Studies in Shakespearean Tragedy, Northrop Frye writes with precision about the defining characteristics of tragic vision. What underlies this vision, he posits, quote-unquote, is being in time, the sense of the one-directional quality of life, where everything happens once and for all, where every act brings unavoidable and fateful consequences, and where all experience vanishes not simply into the past, but into nothingness, annihilation. In the tragic vision, death is, ellipsis, the essential event that gives shape and form to life. By contrast, in Frye's schema, the romance pattern is cyclical, not linear. Death does not define life, but rather the characters in the romance will have a chance to redeem themselves and the order within which they function. The social order in Shakespeare's romance plays and comedies borrows from the stability and perpetuity of the great seasonal cycles that literary cultures have envied and invoked for thousands of years. Shakespearean romance, Pericles, Prince of Tyre, Cymbeline, The Winter's Tale, The Tempest, and The Two Noble Kinsmen, clearly differs from the straightforwardly tragic mode of action and perception, but it isn't identical with comedy either. While both comedy and romance depend partly on the renovation of a corrupt social order, sometimes by temporary removal into a green world of nature, where magic holds sway and transformations for the better can occur, romance is to be distinguished from tragedy and comedy in its Janus-like quality, its ambivalence about even the bittersweet endings it supplies. In The Tempest, for instance, we enjoy a happy ending with the expectation of a marriage between Ferdinand and Miranda back in Naples and a return to power for Prospero as Duke of Milan. The old wizard, at least arguably, shows himself a benevolent ruler on his island, and we may presume he will be equally wise when he returns to Milan. All of that sounds comic-spirited enough. Still, it is easy to see that Prospero is potentially a tyrant who could plausibly misuse his powers. Death, disorder, and tyranny are real threats in The Tempest, even though things turn out well. It's also true that Prospero himself seems to view his abandonment of magic and his departure in a bittersweet way. He says that upon his return, quote unquote, every third thought shall be my grave. Act 5, Scene 1, Line 313. A key point is that in Shakespeare's romance plays, we don't see uncomplicated do-overs, but rather second chances in altered circumstances. Events and persons may come full circle, but there is loss and sorrow along the way, leaving even triumphant conclusions with a bittersweet taste. Still, in the end, Shakespeare's romance plays are uplifting. Then, too, and in spite of their fantastical plot twists and settings, romance plays offer what may well be the most realistic representation of a mostly fortunate life's pattern, with its recurrent trials and opportunities. What awaits the characters is not an experience of ultimate insight and intense clarity near the point of being crushed by inexorable forces, as in tragedy. Neither do they enjoy a purely sunny forecast of individual satisfaction in happy communities, as in Shakespeare's lighter comedies. Instead, they are granted a kind of wisdom that allows them to abide in uncertainty, accept the changes and losses that time brings, and be thankful for the rare second chances they have received. When my father was growing up during the Great Depression in the 1930s, his father used to take him on weekly visits to an ice cream parlor, and in those bleak times, the son's choice was plain white or vanilla. My dad assured me that he enjoyed all three flavors. It took him a good while to figure out that the choice wasn't quite what it seemed. It's a silly anecdote from a lifetime ago, perhaps. But the point is that the best romance characters have much the same capacity, much the same grace, to see wonder in things even when they fall short of cornucopia or perfection. Humans have what it takes to bear their suffering. As Apollo tells the other gods towards the end of Homer's Iliad, quote unquote, "A steadfast spirit have the fates given unto men." Pericles, Prince of Tyre, a diamond in the rough. Pericles, Prince of Tyre, is based on the story of Apollonius within the medieval poet John Gower's Confessio Amantis. Lawrence Twine's prose version of that text, The Pattern of Painful Adventures, also appears to be a source. Pericles is widely thought to have been co-written by Shakespeare with George Wilkins, and it is the earliest of Shakespeare's attempts in what we now call the romance genre. Despite its rough edges stylistically, the play turned out to be popular on the stage. Wilkins seems to have written the first two acts, and Shakespeare most or all of the final three acts. It is easy to tell when we arrive at Shakespeare's handiwork. The opening of Act 3, Scene 1, is magnificent in its dramatic staging and in the beauty of its language. One can hardly miss the Shakespearean energy of these lines spoken by Pericles during a storm at sea. Quote unquote, "Thou God of this great vast, rebuke these surges which wash both heaven and hell." Act 3, Scene 1, lines 1 through 2. This popular play appears to have begun performance around 1609, making it a later work in spite of its complicated textual history. It is, however, Shakespeare's first play in the romance genre, and its characters do not achieve the distinctiveness, for the most part, as those in the more well-rounded romance efforts do. All the same, with its dangerous sea ventures and wonderful turnarounds of fortune, it's a moving and dramatically effective play. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Sunday, June 1st, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume, genre-based format.